guide and direct in the Sunday school lesson, that everything that we do and say will be for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today we're going to be looking at one verse and keeping along with the theme of little-known Bible characters. I'm going to take and talk to you this morning about the innkeeper. The innkeeper. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Have you ever wondered why God leaves things out? Have you ever noticed that? There, you'll be reading along in the Bible, all of a sudden you come to something, you're going, why did that happen? Or why is it that there's no more about that? Yeah. So, Will, you want to turn the lights on? Christmas tree? Thank you. Yeah, you forgot it last night. Anyway, have you ever wondered that? You know, I do. You know, you'll be reading along, all of a sudden you go, I wonder why that was that way. Why was it that this happened the way it did? Or why was it this didn't get done a different way? Hi, Ariana. How are you today? Good to see you. But, you know, so many times, I know I think that way, but then again, maybe I'm just a little bit different. But, you know, I've always wondered why there was no room at the inn. I mean, let's face it, Holiday Inn has, what, 200-300 rooms? You know? So, but, you know, I always wondered why there wasn't any room at the inn for the Lord. So I went and I did a study, a little bit of a study. Actually, I haven't been sleeping well lately, so I've had a lot of time to study at night. And whenever I'm on steroids, I don't sleep at all. And since Thursday, I've been on some pretty high doses of steroids, so I've had lots of time to study at night. Anyway, everybody knows that when I'm on steroids, you just stay away from me because I have roid rage. But I feel better today. I got a good night's sleep last night, believe it or not. And so I feel great today. This is the best I've felt in almost 2 weeks. But anyway, but I've always wondered why there wasn't any room at the inn. I want to look at inns for a little bit today and innkeepers. You know, it could have been that it took Mary and Joseph longer to travel from where they were to Bethlehem than it did a lot of other people. You know, that could have been the problem. You know, it took them longer to get there because, after all, Mary was what? 9 months pregnant. I mean, can you imagine, ladies, 9 months pregnant riding a donkey? Yeah, I mean, you know, let's face it, that would not be the most comfortable ride in the world, amen? And, or, you know, Joseph may not have had enough money to pay for the room. And I want to take, and we're going to look at that a little bit, a little later. But, and it may have been very late in the day, and all the rooms had been taken. And we're going to take a little look at that, too, as we get into inns of that day. But I want to take a look a little bit at some of the inns in the Bible. If you go back to, in your, turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 42, this is the first indication of an inn that's written in the Bible. All the way back in Genesis chapter 42, we see an inn. Genesis 42:27, it says, "And as one of them opened his sack and gave his ass potter in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth." Here we see that Joseph's brothers were on their way back to Canaan from Egypt, and they stopped at an inn. They stopped at an inn. Now, I find that very interesting that they were at an inn. You know, I don't think it was a Holiday Inn. It might have been the Comfort Suites. You never know. It could have been the Sheraton, but it was an inn. If you go to the book of Joshua, you'll see the spies went to a type of an inn. In Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." You know, many believe that this house was an inn. And I believe it was a type of an inn also. And the reason I believe that is that of the location of the house. Where was her house located? On the outside wall. Okay? And it would have been in close proximity to the front gate of the city. As people came through the gate, there was Rahab's Inn. I can see the sign, you know, lit up in neon light. Rahab's Inn. Rahab's, you know what I mean? And now, the inn back then was a little bit different than what they are today. Because the inns back then, travelers would come and they would stay for, you know, maybe one night. They might stay for a week, depending on how much business they had to do in that area. And so it would become a place of social activity. And Rahab's was very social activity. And but anyway, we need to realize that when travelers would travel, there weren't a lot of towns. You know, it isn't like today where you travel 9 miles and you're to Coolidge, you travel another 12 miles or 15 miles, you're in Casa Grande, things like that. They may have had to travel 50 or 100 miles between towns. Now, as we were doing our Genesis study, we talked about how they traveled. They traveled from well to well. They knew where the wells were, and they would travel from well to well. Why did they travel from well to well?
Water.
Water. They needed to have water for their animals. They needed to have water for themselves. So what they would do is they would travel from well to well, and then they would get to the point where they were going to. And it's very important because we need to realize that they needed food, they needed water, and they needed lodging when they got there. Now, can you imagine walking 50 miles or 100 miles between two points? Where do you sleep? You camp out, right? Out underneath the stars. Well, you know, all of a sudden you come into a town and you see, oh, wow, an inn. Well, let's go in and have a good night's sleep. Amen? Or, you know, a lot of them offered baths. They offered a lot of different services and stuff in that day. And a lot of them could get a meal or a couple meals at the inn. And so here we see that in the Old Testament, inns were very, very important because a lot of people were a long ways from home and they had nowhere to go. They didn't have relatives. They didn't have things in that proximity, so they had to take and stay in an inn. Now, as time went on, and another thing is that in the Old Testament, especially before Moses, what did they have for a law? Pre-Moses. Right, okay. What seemed right in their own eyes, didn't it? And that's why Rahab had the occupation she did. You know, she was a harlot. And, you know, people would come in there and they would rent a room and, you know, but that was customary in that daytime or in that period of time. Now, as time went on and there got to be more written laws and things like that, then it became more illegal to take and do things like that. But now if you take and you look at between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you find that there's a difference in the way the inns were set up. Now, in the Old Testament, they would have rooms on the same floor as what the dwelling was of the people who owned the inn. Now, as time went on, especially in the New Testament, and we're going to be talking about times of when Jesus was born, The ends were a little bit different. They weren't as large as they were back in the Old Testament, but they were a good place to take and get a good night's sleep, have a meal, and stay there. And the way the inns were set up is this way. They had 4 to 5 rooms, and they were in the up above. And underneath those 4 or 5 rooms was the living quarters for the innkeeper and his family. Now, outside of that, there was a huge opening that was about the size of this room, and there were usually 2 to 3 tables set up, and there was also, on the other side, was a bar. The bar was for coffee and tea and soft drinks. You know what I mean? No, it wasn't. Anyway, but the tables were used for breakfast and dinner. And when you went to an inn, you would take and pay a dollar or whatever the customary rate was, and you would stay there for that day or that night. The next morning, you would get up and you would have a breakfast. You know, perfect. Man, you're traveling, you don't have to cook. Man, no doing dishes. I mean, it's perfect. Now, what happens is this, is that throughout the day, things change a little bit. You know, in the morning, everybody comes in for coffee and donuts, right? You know, afternoon, they might have a lunch, and then come evening, they have dinner. But then after dinner, then the bar opens up, and then the partying starts. Now, and that's the way the inns were back then. Now, what happened in the time of Jesus was this, is that they came to an inn. What was an innkeeper? And a businessman. Okay, now think about this for just a minute. I do a lot of thinking about this, but if you were an innkeeper, and you got a dollar a day for someone to stay, all right? Now, all of a sudden, a decree went out by Caesar that everybody needed to be taxed, everybody needed to come to one location, and you were only one of about 3 inns in that area. Yeah, yeah. The first thing you would do is what? Raise your prices. Now, I read one. Do you know that commentaries kind of sidestep this whole thing? They do. But I ran into Oliver B. Green. He's an old-time preacher. He was on the radio for many, many years. And I've got all of his commentaries. And I went in and I was reading one of his commentaries on this subject. And this is what he said. He says, most people don't realize that innkeepers were businessmen. And innkeepers were almost like publicans. They would take and get as much as they could out of anyone they could for any period of time. And that's basically what he said. And I got to think about that. I thought, you know what? That's right. You know, here it is. There's only maybe 2 or 3 inns in this whole area. I mean, Bethlehem was not a very big town. And it wasn't a major thoroughfare for trade. It was kind of off the beaten path, so to speak. Now, all of a sudden, here's all these thousands of people coming to Bethlehem for taxation purposes, and this innkeeper's going, money, money, money. And Oliver B. Green said this. He said, more than likely, this innkeeper raised his rates 2,000%. 2,000%. I mean, that's a lot. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, this summer, my wife and I went up to the Bohetian, I think it's called, up in Scottsdale, and they had a special deal. It was $49 a night. $49.
I mean, this is a 5-star hotel. It had a spa. It had everything in it. I mean, you name it, it's there. And we went there for $49 one night. I thought, you know, I'm going to stay in a real nice motel one night, my whole life, you know. So we did. Oh, it was great. Do you know what they get for it right now? $469 a night. I couldn't even believe it. I'm going, whoa. You know, $500 to stay in a motel for what? No way. Not me. But so think about this for just a minute. Here comes Mary and Joseph. Mary's 9 months pregnant. Joseph has some money. Not a lot, because he's not very wealthy. He's just a young boy. And he comes in, and he walks up to the innkeeper and says, do you have a room? That's right. How much you got? Now remember, he only has maybe 4 or 5 rooms. That's it. 4 or 5 rooms that he would let out. Now, many believe that this innkeeper also rented the bedrooms in his living quarters because he could make more money on that specific time. But just think about this for a minute. Say, for instance, he did charge $1 a night at a normal rate. Then he raised it to $200 a night. Back then, what difference does it make? Who's going to take and who's going to, you know, be over him saying, okay, you can't do that. You can't gouge people. But they did. But think about that. Okay, say it was $200 a night. That's $1,000. $1,000. One night, $1,000. How many nights would it take him normally to make that $1,000? 3 years. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about that. I'm going, man, he could build a whole new inn. You know what I mean? But so here we see, yeah, he could very easily have said, okay, you've got to give me this amount of money in order for you to have a room. Or there is no room at the inn. What's that? Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of people coming that were pretty wealthy, and they could afford that amount of money. So here we see that could have been one of the reasons why there was no inn or no room at the inn. But you know, we need to take and realize that God had everything in perfect order, didn't he? God had everything in perfect order in the birth of Jesus. Now, if Jesus would have been born in the inn, what would that have made different on the Christmas story? Huh? Well, yeah. Huh? No manger. He would not have been born the way it was prophesied in the Old Testament. Now, what we need to realize is this, is God is a God of order. God has everything pre-planned. God did not want his only begotten Son to be born like everyone else. He wanted him to be born differently. And that's why there was no room at the inn. You know, I can see it now. All of a sudden, here comes Mary and Joseph up to the inn, and there's 1,000 rooms, and they have hundreds of rooms open. And they go to a room, and the baby's born. But it wasn't the same as being born in a manger. You know, as I was thinking about this, here's Joseph walking up to this innkeeper, and he's saying, I need a room. My wife is 9 months pregnant. We have been sleeping out under the stars for the last 4 nights. We need a soft bed. She has to rest. Is there anything that you would have for us to sleep in? I can see this happening. And the innkeeper's looking at him, looking at Mary, and going, My wife was like that one time. No, I don't have anything. There's no room. The place is packed. Everything is completely sold out. Did you see the no vacancy sign? We have no vacancy. Well, is there any place in town, anywhere, that we could be out of the elements? Anywhere. Somewhere where we can take and have somewhere soft to sleep. Now, you got to realize this also. What did the innkeepers do for the people who stayed there? Hi there. Come on in. Why was it that, what else did the innkeepers do? Yeah. Well, think about it, okay? They had, not only did they have to have an inn there, they had to have some place for the people to sleep, they had to have some place for them to eat, some place, you know, and they didn't have running water back then, so they had to do everything outside, you know what I mean? And so what we need to realize is that here all of a sudden, you've got all these animals to take care of. So the innkeeper says, well, okay, I've got our stable. And it had to be a pretty good-sized stable. You know, because these people were coming in caravans to be taxed. So this stable had to be huge. Yeah, you got camels, you've got donkeys, you've got, you know, sheep, you've got everything that they trapped. Because everything had to be alive that they took with them. You know, they killed animals on the run, so to speak. And that's what they ate. You know, everything was alive while they left, and they had to, you know, herd it to get to where they were going. And then they had to herd it back. But now, here we see that they had all these animals. So he says, well, you know what? I think you can probably find some place to sleep in the stable. You know, there's a lot of animals in there. It's going to be warm. Maybe a little smelly, but you're going to be comfortable. I can see Joseph in the back of his mind saying, boy, I don't know. A stable? Would that be better than sleeping outside? Huh? Yeah, 50 cents a night. Would it be better than sleeping outside? Huh? I wouldn't mind sleeping to the animals, you know. But all of a sudden he looks at Mary, and Mary's like this. We'll take anything. Anything. I don't want to sleep on the ground again. So he says, okay, we'll take it. So he goes into the stable. He takes 3-4 bales of hay, spreads them out, makes a nice, soft bed. How many of you are young enough, old enough, I should say, to remember playing in a haymow? You know, I used to love that. I did. We would take and we would go up, a friend of mine, their dad had a farm, and we would go up and we would open up a couple bales of hay and spread them out, make a hay fort up in the haymow. You know what I mean? And man, we used to have the softest beds up there you ever had. But, you know, and I can see him doing this. I can see him making a bed for Mary in this stable so that she was comfortable enough to get a good night's sleep. Because I'm sure she did not sleep very well outside on the way down to Bethlehem. I'm sure that she was awake more than she was sleeping with the condition that she was in. But whose fault was it? Was it the innkeeper's fault that they were in the stable? No, it wasn't. It wasn't the innkeeper who was the one that put them there. It was God himself. It was God himself who placed them. Now think about this for just a minute. What happened that night after Jesus was born? Huh? Yeah, well, no, not the star yet. Well, the star appeared, but the shepherds. Okay, now, if they were in the inn. Yeah. If they would have been in the inn. Now, here's all these shepherds coming down on this stable. Now, I can see it. Here, Mary just had the baby. The inn is full of people. The shepherds come in. What do you want? We're looking for the newborn king. You know, God appeared to us, and we're looking for the newborn king. What would the innkeeper have said? Are you out of your mind? There's no king here. Right? But you know, God had this all pre-planned so that when the heavenly host appeared to the shepherds, they knew exactly what to look for. Go and you're going to find the babe what? Wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a... Right away, that told the shepherds what? Where was he going to be? He was going to be in a stable. After all, isn't that where the mangers were? We're in the stables? You know, it amazes me how God, in his infinite wisdom, had all of this so pre-planned. And you notice that he didn't go to the innkeeper. God didn't go to the innkeeper and say, hey, you know what? The King of Kings is born and he's in your stable. You notice that? He went to the lowly shepherds. He went to the lowly shepherds. And he says, the King of Kings is born. He's in a stable. You're going to go and find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Wow. I mean, that's unbelievable. And have you ever wondered about the shepherds? Now, what were they doing? By what? Night. What's out at night? Yeah. All the carnivorous animals who like sheep. Okay. So now, all of a sudden, the shepherds said to each other, what? Let's go see this thing. Who took care of the sheep? You know, wow. They all took off. They just left the sheep. They came back and they're all fine. You know, I'll tell you what, when I read the Christmas story and I see the different things and how everything came together, you know, how the innkeeper had no room, none. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault because he was a businessman. He was trying to make as much money as he possibly could to support his family. And yet, God had everything perfectly planned so that Jesus, when he was born the exact day he was supposed to be born, the exact place he was supposed to be born, and in the exact way that he was supposed to be born. We need to realize that we serve an awesome God who has everything so pre-planned. And each and every one of our lives, believe it or not, are pre-planned also. You know, I look around here and look at all the work that's getting done and stuff. And you know what? God brings people in when he knows we need them. Doesn't he, John? Amen? I'll tell you what. We just, everything's starting to look so nice around here again. And I just praise the Lord for it. And I can't thank William enough for all that he does and Larry I just appreciate everybody so much. Let's have a word of prayer. We're going to start church in about 10 minutes. Father, thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for this story on the inn and the innkeeper. Father, we know that you had everything pre-planned. Everything is not done by accident. You have everything planned out how the world needs to go. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We just pray now that you'll continue to guide and direct in all that we do. Be at the service to follow. And we give the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to start church in about 10 minutes.